waikato.org.nz. Volunteering Waikato, enriching lives.
This is not the BBC.
Kia ora, good evening, whaingara and Raglan. You're listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan on Raglan Community Radio, Rangi Ao Whaingaroa, at 6:04. And let's have a look at what's the weather's doing and stuff like that. So the weather is getting warmer. It's probably not going to get much warmer than it has been today for the next week or so. That's 22. Lowest temperature over the next week is 13, going down to 14 tonight. So a bit of a drop in temperature overnight, but not cold. 1,020 hectopascals for the pressure. Possibility of a shower on Thursday evening or night. More probably on Monday. The wind hardly any at the moment. Supposed to pick up to a northwesterly of 15 knots this evening. So not all that much. Not all that much swell either, southwest 1 metre. The low tide will be in 18 minutes' time at a 0.6 metre low tide, so not especially low. And the next high tide we'll see, there'll be one in the middle of the night, but be one at just gone 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, 3.1 metre high tide, so reasonably high, but not the highest of high tides. The days, of course, still getting longer. Just got another couple of weeks of that. So the mornings are 2 minutes longer than they were when I talked to you last week. So that makes it 10 to 6 for a sunrise. And the sunsets are 8 minutes later than they were last week, which makes that 29 minutes to 9. Still don't really understand why one's not the same as the other, but that's what happens at this time of year. The mornings don't change as much as the evenings. And it's the same the other way when it starts getting darker as well. The fairly limited list of things on this week. We've got the last of the sewage drop-in session. Still got doubts about linking sewage and drop-in, but anyway, sewage drop-in session happening at the Winery Reserve car park until 7 o'clock this evening. It's been going on since about 3:30. So if you want to get there and have a look, some people have been thinking that they were going to organise tours to go and look, but as far as I can make out, they wouldn't be holding it in the main car park next to the toilets if they were planning to take you quite some distance beyond the northern car park, almost as far as the Trig Point, in fact. So I think it's just a sort of have a chat, have a look at some photos and plans, and that's about it. There's also going to be a session coming up in the library. Not sure when that's going to be, but they did say they were going to run that as well. And the other thing happening this evening, as far as I know, is the trivia night at the Harbourview Hotel at 7 o'clock. And the things happening tomorrow, Reckland Ramblers, as usual, going for a ramble. As unusual, there's actually two rambles. So one starting off usual time and place, the other one starting, well, I haven't actually worked out quite where the other one's starting, to be honest. It talks about the toilets near the Marae and going for a walk along the beach. So if your guess is any better than mine as to where the toilets near the Marae to go for a walk along the beach is, then maybe you might want to turn up. And I'm not totally certain what time it is, but I'm guessing it's the same time as the rambles normally, so that would be 9 o'clock. And it's possible that it means the toilets near the end of Riria Kiriopa Memorial Drive, or it's possible it means the toilets near the footbridge. As I say, I've not worked out which. I'm not sure whether things are going to be any clearer by tomorrow. Apart from rambling tomorrow, there's also the usual knitting circle that's also happening at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. All these things are on our website if you want to have a look at raglanradio.com. It lists all the things which are happening every week and tells you when and where and such like. The other thing which is happening tomorrow afternoon is the community board's meeting at 1:30 in the town hall in the supper room. So I'll talk a bit more about that soon. Let's have a look at what else is happening. So there's also a market at the club from 10 till 2 on Saturday. And there's also the Whangarei Youth Movement putting on a show called Life on Mars. That's at 1 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. on Saturday, and also at 1 p.m. on Sunday. And for adults, it's $20. The creative market is on Sunday, 9 till 1. At the old school on Stuart Street, and also at the old school on Stuart Street, there's an exhibition starting on Monday evening, well, opening on Monday evening, and then the exhibition's going to be 10 till 2 for the rest of the week through to the 15th. What else have we got? I think that's it for things happening. As I say, there's a whole list of things which happen every week on our website, raglanradio.com. Have a look for the What's On tab and list them all week by week. The community board, as I say, is meeting tomorrow at 1:30 in the town hall in the supper room on Bow Street. And the agenda is a fairly short agenda. Maybe they're getting ready for Christmas and not hoping to talk too long. We'll listen to what Dennis Amor had to say first, and then I'll fill in the bits that he's not covered. So I think that might be a better way of doing it than me telling you all the things and then Dennis repeats them all. So let's see what we can do about persuading Dennis to talk to us. Dennis being the chair of the community board. So hopefully if I press that button, I can say, here we go.
Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show here on Raglan Community Radio. And in the studio, I've got Dennis Amor, our community board chairperson. Last time I saw you was at a meeting about the future of wastewater treatment and disposal in the community. I thought like this was an issue that would never, ever get dealt with in any of our lifetimes, but it looks like it is going to be dealt with.
You know, it's actually progressed pretty well. A lot of it you can't see because the work going up with the MBR that's going on the sewage treatment site is sort of out of sight of everyone, so no one can see what's going on there. But
well, you're not allowed up there, but, no, but you and I and a few others were invited a few months ago. So we have seen work happening, and they are building this we're going to call it a very fancy sewage works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it'll be a good treatment. It's a very efficient treatment plant. It's due to be finished mid-2025, if I got my dates right.
I think at that meeting the other night, they suggested it might be earlier.
Oh, well, if we get it earlier, then that's a bonus, obviously. Mm. And then the other part of the meeting was about the discharge on Wainui Reserve, where it's going to happen now, down one of the gullies there, which a few people were sceptical about when they started talking about the volumes of water. Sort of about 1.2 million litres of water a day, which should disperse across the whole widths and sides of the valley.
When you say million, it sounds like a lot, but the engineers were saying it's really not that much.
No, I guess.
Which I still feel like it's a lot.
Yeah, I'm a little bit the same. You sort of, you sort of put it in volumes, but when you look at the flows down rivers and things like that, it's fairly insignificant, I guess. But it's just a matter of how that's going to go. And it's not 100% final because they're still doing their geotech core drilling and everything like that to see what the porosity of the land there is. So,
and that will answer the questions that a few people had about, the ones who are disbelieving that that they said, no, that's going to flow over the surface.
Yeah, that's right, because if the porosity is right, obviously it'll go down to the surface, it'll go underground and that sort of thing, and then dispersed wherever the underwater water table takes it.
Mm. And they, afterwards I was talking to someone and they were like, you know, if there's a bit of the beach below that where the sand is damper than other areas, or there's even water on the surface for some reason, people are going to be, ooh, yuck. And I'm like, at what point do we, and this is what one of the engineers was saying, at what point do we stop thinking of this as water with human waste? Because what we've been told about the new plant is that the water will be visually indistinguishable from
drinking water.
Tap water. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess that's where Peter was saying that just sort of you've got to develop a new relationship with the water because it is that clean that, you know, as you say, it's almost drinking water quality and things like that. So I guess the treatment's got it to a level where it's going to be safe. But, you know, if you walk along Nauru Beach and that sort of thing, you'll find wet spots on the beach at various places
anyway,
quite regularly. So, you know, it's not an indication that the water's coming to the surface from what's being run off from the wastewater scheme or anything like that. It's just one of those things that happens.
Yeah, of course the beach is, it's not quite a cliff face, but it's, you know, there's a big steep bank there.
Yeah, so yeah, that's right. And there's several gullies along. If you walk along there, you'll see that there's four or five gullies for them when you start at just below the old Bryant home all the way back to the harbour entrance.
Yeah.
Where, you know, runoff is running down through the gullies. It doesn't run onto the beach because there's no streams across the beach as such, but it obviously gets absorbed by the sand and dissipates underground.
Yeah, yeah. I did ask about the cost, and initially we'd been talking, there was the idea that it might be up Mangatawhiri Road, and people were talking about $38, $40 million for that, and that's a lot of money. This one, when I asked the question, they said it would be $8 million. To do, which it was a lot of money to us personally, but for council, it's more doable.
Well, it's certainly more palatable, I guess, as a ratepayer. It still seems like an awful lot of money for a pumping station and a pipe.
Yeah,
and I know Councillor Kerr, for example, is arguing the costs on it, saying that, you know, he doesn't understand how it could possibly be $8 million. But
he said that to me afterwards. He said he thought it could be, and he wants to tell them to make it cheap. Well, not tell them, but, you know, he wants to investigate how it can be cheaper.
Yeah, yeah. So there's still some work to be done on that.
Yeah, yeah. And we should emphasise that we have to wait for the soil report to come.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and once I've got that, and they indicated they might have that before the end of the year, didn't they? So once I've got that, they can make final decisions then and get on with the final design and firm up pricing.
Yeah, and the timeline, what was the timeline on that? It was only a few years the entire thing would be done and dusted.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember the exact date. I'm not sure he actually said when that would come into play.
It was in the back of, I'm now looking around as if I've got the paper here, but it was in the back of a handout they had. I'm not going to say the number because I'm trying to remember it, but not that long in terms of, you know, these sort of infrastructure projects, just a few years.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't take long to put a pipeline across, which is, you know, 3 kilometres or 4 kilometres maximum, probably, which it is. And build a pumping station, they should be able to knock that out in 12 months. Obviously, there's a consenting process to go through and a few things that may create some delays on that.
Yeah. And I think also what was interesting was the discussion about when we get a lot of rain and the system overflows, which it always does. And as far as I can tell, like this is, we're talking about rainwater getting into the sewage system, which it shouldn't, but it does. And I've kind of asked questions around this. It seems to be, from the feeling I get from talking to people, is that no matter how hard you work, it's always going to happen. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, we've still got a whole lot of old houses in Ragland where, you know, stormwater and wastewater tended to get mixed.
But they did some surveys, they did smoke testing over the last 10 years.
Yeah, so I don't know how well that's been sorted out. We also have had manholes that have been, where it's been raised, that sewage manholes have been below or got flooded over with stormwater and things like that. So There's been last 5 years, there's been ongoing exercises to rectify all those. So hopefully the amount of stormwater that ends up in the wastewater system is a lot less than it used to be, and we can continue to minimise it.
And certainly we don't want any seawater in it.
No, it's going to make the treatment plant struggle a little bit.
Although they've allowed for that.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm not sure how they manage that or whether it's just a dilution process or not.
Yeah, or everything's made of stainless steel.
But like you say, I think just with the overflow and peak flooding or peak rainfall areas, the old ponds are still going to be there, so that any extra that can't go through the plant at the time will go into the old ponds, and then it'll be treated at a later date.
Pumped back into the system.
Back into the system, yeah.
Yeah, and ultimately, if that can't handle it, they can still send it through the old pipe.
Yeah, well,
that's what that was their suggestion. I guess that's for community to decide or Mana Whenua to decide.
I guess that would be an extreme situation too.
Yeah, well, they were talking like 1 in 100 year events.
Yep.
Except they seem to come every 10 years these days. So,
yeah.
But are you feeling good about this?
Yeah, no, I think at the moment it's pleasing to see. I think it's a huge improvement, and it's making good progress. I guess the only concern will be is just how much our targeted rate will change as a reflection of it, because at the end of the day, they've got to pay for it.
Yeah, although they have to pay for, I mean, they're paying for upgrades throughout the district of like Merimeri and Te Kauwhara have had upgrades.
It's not just a Raglan problem. It's certainly a problem in the other areas, and the targeted rate is across the whole district. It's not just in Raglan.
Yeah. So we share. At the moment, our rates have been paying for their upgrade, and now their rates are paying for ours. So
yeah, and if you're a rural person, then you're not going to get any upgrade, but you've still got to pay for ours.
Yeah, shouldn't be allowed to go to the toilets when they come to Raglan.
I think just the other thing too, there's some drop-in sessions going to be held up on the reserve.
Yeah.
I haven't got the dates in front of me, but they are on the council webpage.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to know more information and have a look at where it's going to be discharged, those drop-in sessions are going to be held on the reserve right down the far north end of the reserve. So go to the top roundabout, turn right and drive to the very end of there.
And walk.
And then there'll no doubt be someone down there that you can meet with.
Yeah, and it's like looking at the big picture, it's this little gully that it's going into, a reasonably sized gully, is near the pines. So it's kind of, I think it's a bit of a walk.
Oh, is it? It's that far up. Okay.
I'm just trying to remember the picture. Yeah, it's near it. Not right up against it, but pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So that's positive progress. Also, at the campground, with the campground/soccer fields, with the stormwater work they're doing there, how's progress there?
Progress there is excellent. The civil contractor and the project manager on that project done a fantastic job. It will be finished before Christmas, I can say that. I had a talk to the project manager yesterday.
Yeah.
He's looking to give practical completion before Christmas. The pumps are due to arrive next week, and they'll be installed. And at the moment, they're just tidying everything up, regrassing parts of it and things like that. So it's all on track, and, it'll make a huge improvement. There will be some work done in the new year after the peak holiday period, where the humps and hollows throughout the whole of the camping ground will be filled in, leveled and things like that, because we've got quite a lot of topsoil that was taken out as part of the excavation.
Campground and soccer fields?
We haven't gone quite as far as the soccer fields, Aaron, yet.
Because all the vehicles that have been driving over the soccer fields will have created hollows.
Okay, I can talk to the project manager about that, and we can have a look at that.
There was a time when I was helping out with the soccer where I could probably have done a contour map of the soccer fields. I knew it so well. So yeah, it's hollow, and it seems to, and even without vehicles, it seems to hollow out in places at times. Anyway, it's it's weird. I mean, it's sand built on sand. So.
Yeah. So no, as a project, it's gone pretty well. A bit of inconvenience and a bit of lost revenue for the camping ground board and that sort of thing, but there's a win at the end of it for them in that we won't, hopefully, all going well, we won't have any flooding within the camping ground going forward.
So that, I remember there was quite a few years ago, there was a big flood, like I went over there and you were sort of knee deep in some places. So did that keep happening?
Well, I don't know if they got that bad, but there's certainly flooding around some tent sites and some caravan sites and things like that. Yeah. So that this will alleviate all that.
Yeah, and I know the soccer fields continue to flood. I did hear about that. So
and hopefully we'll see an improvement in that area as well this year.
Yeah. Okay. Looking forward to that. What else are we going to talk about? The I know it's in the agenda. It's just pictures of work that's been done, but the work at the wharf, that's finished off, and the work down Wenera Street, that's finished off. Wenera Street down Wenera, what do we call it?
Walkway. Yeah, Wenera Street, the walkway between the bridge and the jetty is complete, but there's design work going on the section from the bridge to St. John's, I guess you could call it, or the fire station end. So the design work on that is well underway, and the project manager and council are going to do a presentation to the board of what's planned there. So that side of the walkway will be completed in 2025, and then that'll be an upgrade of the whole thing. So it'll be a similar design in principle, but there's a lot more civil work to be done on the wall, on the walkway wall.
So it's the structure of the wall is the question.
That is part of the challenge this time around. So there's a lot of grouting to be done on that side to strengthen the wall before we do the walkway on top.
And folks, when Dennis says civil work, he means engineering work, not that the contractors will be super polite, because
they're always polite. We select the right contractors, come on, Aaron. In fact, actually, the contractors we had at Papahua and the ones we had on the Wenera walkway were actually excellent in that respect.
Times have changed over the last couple of generations in reality, haven't they?
Yeah. Oh, well, we close with the Wenera walkway. We'll close that. I guess it's the southern end. We'll close that end off again, I would imagine. Mm. And everyone will have to use the northern end just to make it easier and allows them just to expedite it and get on with it.
Okay. Now, at the last community board meeting, which was 6 weeks ago, because we're talking to Dennis because there's a community board meeting next Wednesday coming up.
At the town hall.
Town hall, 1:30.
Yep.
At the last one, there was a council manager there actually taking notes from you guys about issues for some kind of town plan. Which that was the first concrete sign that I'd seen that something would be done in the way of a town plan. There seems to be concern about, there's all these categories, like a structure plan, that costs a lot of money to make.
Yeah,
and they're wondering if they're going to do that.
No, we're not going to have a structure plan. There seems to be about four levels, so I believe James is coming to this meeting, so hopefully we'll get some update on that.
Okay.
But we're just looking for looking to be able to, from the community, give some direction to council of what the priorities we are that we see in Raglan and what the community sees in Raglan.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were kind of spitballing in the meeting because I don't think you knew that you were going to get that chance, but immediately everyone was like, oh, I know this. So you've probably had the time to, figure out a few other things as well since then.
Yeah. No, there is a list of things that we've got. So we are doing a bit of a planning meeting on prior to the meeting. On next Wednesday, but there are a lot of things that have been sitting out there in the pipeline that just haven't made progress, and we're keen to get some movement on those sort of things and get some focus on those, because it all needs to go into the LTP, because effectively we're putting an LTP together for the next 9 years, and any of the projects that we want need to go into there now if we're going to get them done in the next 9 years.
Yeah, so folks, that's a really important point. That's the council spending plan, and we already did pre-engagement, they can sometimes call it, and so there'll be now the staff will be putting together the draft plan, and then that'll be open for comment sometime next year, early next year.
Yeah, it'll be out for public submission next year.
Yeah.
But, there is a lot of debate going on in council at the present time, so if people have got things, talk to Lisa, talk to myself, and that sort of thing, so we can try and encourage council to start thinking about those things.
Yeah. Now, that does kind of bring us to... Actually, first of all, is there anyone else coming to the meeting to talk at all?
Pamela Story from Regional Council's coming.
Okay.
She's got a couple of things on her agenda. One, I think, is the public transport rating system on how they're going to charge for public transport, because I couldn't quite work it out. They are talking about three options, but I couldn't find the options in the submission that was there, so I need to have another look. I think the other one was the aquaculture in this area and what's happening with aquaculture in this area.
Is that the people who want aquaculture are coming?
No. I think Pamela's talking about some document they're preparing on aquaculture.
Okay. I know Angeline Greensill has had things to say about
Lots of people have things to say.
People from out of town. Yeah, but when she has things to say, there tends to be a little bit of action following it. So it's always interesting to see.
Yeah, well, Kafia and Aotea both have aquaculture. Raglan's, you can either say it's behind the times or it's opposed to it. I'm not sure which.
I think one of her perspectives is if we're going to do it, we should be doing it instead of an out-of-town company or something like that. I know that's something she said to me. The thing with the transport that Pamela Story from the Regional Council is coming to talk about, the funding has changed, isn't it? Because it used to be NZTA, the District Council and the Regional Council combined, but now it's all been shifted. Well, not all. The District Council's dropping out of it, so you guys are dropping out of it.
Yep.
And so I guess they're taking that as a chance to revamp everything.
Yeah, and look at basically how they can recover the cost from it.
Yeah, and bearing in mind that over the last couple of years, they haven't been able to pay enough for bus drivers that anyone actually wants to do the job. Well, some people are doing the job, but they've really struggled to find staff.
Yeah, that's very noticeable.
Yeah, and that was like when we had State Highway 23 closed and the buses were doing extra trips, I was asking the question, because they had to cut one of the bus trips, and I was like, what happens to the workers who rely on the bus? And there was no answer because they had no drivers.
Hmm.
That's the conclusion I came to in the end.
So, oh, okay, yep.
Yeah, so there's issues there. Yeah. Well, most people don't take buses, we know that. Okay, so...
Actually, just on the bus thing, and yep. This is something I was talking to... we were having a talk about, and we were talking to John Lawson about. Raglan people, you are able to take the bus from Raglan to Manu Bay. Just because the bus goes from Manu Bay to Hamilton doesn't mean you have to do the whole trip. So if you're in Raglan, you want to go to Manu Bay for a few hours, you can actually catch the bus to Manu Bay and you catch the bus from Manu Bay back to Raglan.
Yeah.
And I think people just need to be aware of that. It's, you can jump on it, jump off it, almost sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So it goes out a couple of times a day now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we were talking about the long-term plan, the community, and the community boards will have things to say. At the end of our last interview, you were talking about you were frustrated because you felt like council wasn't always listening to what you guys were saying, and you're the community board representing the people, and you guys are all mostly in touch with the community, all from different parts of it, so you know what the community wants. Tell us, I guess an example was the boat ramp charges that yep. You had done some work on, and then what happened to those?
Well, basically it was, I think it got put in the too hard basket. No one in council seemed to be prepared to look at how they could collect the revenue, and it was just felt that it was going to be too hard to collect it.
But this is done in how many boat ramps around the
yeah,
island?
Well, you know, we got, when we sort of made recommendations of what sort of figure they could charge, which was sort of typically around $100 a year for a resident. Basically, that came by looking at all the other boat ramps around the countryside and looking at what they were paying. So, yeah, it's collected in other areas. So it's only a matter of talking to other councils and saying, well, how do you collect it? And sure, you're going to miss a few that drop in for the day and that sort of thing, but you're still going to get some revenue that goes back towards maintenance of the boat ramps.
And you know a lot of the local boaties. You are one of them. Was everyone happy with a fee?
Generally speaking, they weren't that opposed to the idea as long as money got spent on the assets to keep the assets maintained.
Yeah.
And so as long as it's going back to that, generally speaking, yeah, there was a positive reaction to it.
Yeah, so it was a win-win for everybody, but maybe the staff.
Yeah, yeah.
So and from your perspective, is this, like, that's a one issue, but is this a problem with... a common problem?
Well, you get the feeling that it is. And part of that's, they definitely don't appear to pick up on things yet you're raising. And they're very slow to put plans in place. You know, Manu Bay boat ramp, getting that cleaned and getting the rocks off that, you know, I don't know how many times we've raised that, but I've still got boaties coming to me and saying, hey, we've got rocks all over the bottom of the ramp. You know, we could put in a three monthly contract with someone just to go and do it. Three times a year or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just little things like that. The same with the cycle guys trying to get the connectivity between the footpath and Wainui Reserve. You know, you have these meetings, you have discussions, you have Zoom calls, and it all goes into a dark hole. And that. But on that one, something is happening, and actually Stephanie's coming to, from council, is coming to this meeting to give us an update on a few of those things and the preparation of Wainui Reserve. Okay. A preparation of council for overflow parking at Wainui Reserve and Papahua and things like that. But, yeah, it gets a bit frustrating, Aaron. It was the same with the sort of structure plan or plan. We've raised that many times. We get told, well, someone will come and see you after Christmas. Well, they are, but it's 11 months since Christmas, since last year, and they're going to make it just in time.
I know it moves at a different speed in council, and you and I have both had experience working in private companies that do construction projects. You've been on some monster ones compared to what I was involved with, but we both had the experience that things would just happen. Like you couldn't afford to go that slow because you'd be out of business, or your boss would be.
Yeah, well, that's right. You know, if you're working for Fonterra and you're doing a major project from them, basically the cows start calving at a certain time of the year and the milk starts flowing and your project has to be finished. You don't get a chance to delay it.
And I know we complain about this aspect of council, but I don't have the experience with other councils to know whether this is just how it is, or whether it can be improved, whether we should try, or other things go wrong if you try to push them too fast. I don't honestly have an answer. I have an opinion, but it's not a very well-informed one.
Yeah, I guess my information only comes from what you read in the media, but you certainly get the impression in other areas that, and particularly in Hamilton, that ratepayers get pretty frustrated with the speed of things happening in there as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of squabbling on that council.
Yeah, they have other issues, yes.
Yeah, at least, actually, that is one thing I'll say about our council, is that the councillors seem to be able to operate quite well together, even though they come from the usual diverse backgrounds. I mean, you should expect that.
Well, yeah. You definitely want diverse backgrounds, so,
yeah,
you know, and we do have that on our council for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, folks, we're talking to Dennis Amore, Community Board Chairperson. Is there anything else that we should mention before we let you go? Sort of projects going. It feels like things have been kind of quiet lately, aside from that, the wastewater treatment issue.
Yeah, there's things happening around the district and progress on projects and things like that. The walkway that I just talked about looks like that's going to happen and get up and running, so there should be connectivity between Wainui Reserve and Raglan before Christmas with a bit of luck.
Yeah.
And things, like you said, Papahua. There's all the parking's been upgraded, and we've got new sealed areas at Wainui Reserve and Papahua. Yeah. So things have been happening, and that sort of thing. We do have Extreme Waste coming to talk to us at the meeting as well, so we'll be talking to them about rubbish collection over the Christmas period. And make sure that's happening, because every year we still seem to have problems, particularly over at Papahua.
Apparently, the bins getting
filled. So
last time they were at the community board, they basically couldn't drive fast enough to keep up with the bins filling up.
Yeah.
So hopefully there's a solution to that. There was a note, actually, I did notice in the agenda something about the Tiuku situation. Is someone coming to talk about that? It was just in the...
Not that I'm aware of. It's in the Works and Issues report, I think.
It was just like a sentence.
They've tidied that whole waste collection area up there, out there now, and it's very dependent on the users to make sure that they put the rubbish in the appropriate places. And if you are driving from Hamilton to Tiuku and you want to drop your rubbish off, just be courteous to the people at Tiuku. They've done put in a lot of effort and time to get that facility there, along with Extreme Waste. So please take time to put your rubbish in the right places.
Although maybe those of us who live in Raglan shouldn't be using the Tiuku drop-off
point. We shouldn't be using the drop-off point. No, we shouldn't.
And yeah.
Most of us probably don't, but obviously there are some that just dump their bag and disappear.
Yeah, yeah. And your comments, your critical comments of council not listening to the community board, can I make that my headline when we write up this interview?
You can do what you like, Aaron.
You can do what we like, okay.
Look at us. You know how reporters are and stand commentators.
By. Stand by.
You'll be able to take over from Mike Hosking soon.
Oh, I don't think so. I'm a little bit different to Mike. Very different, I would say. Gemma's probably from Extreme Zero Waste. And your job,
Dennis, thanks. And title. Gemma,
always different. Like to ask.
Yeah, walking variety show of Extreme Zero Waste.
Right. Okay, yep. What have you got for us today?
Dun, 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 dun.
Not doing very well with that control. Apologies for that. Ran over into the next interview, which it shouldn't have done. You're listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan on Raglan Community Radio. It's 8 minutes past the bottom of the hour, so let's have the bottom of the hour items now.
Enough respect to the Red Robin Reggae Rodeo.
Yeah, you're in the Red Robin's Reggae Rodeo.
This is the Reggae Rodeo every Friday from 6 to 8 with your host Red Robin here out of Raglan. It's a fantastic Friday night.
Red Robin Reggae Rodeo. 98.1 Raglan Community Radio.
Which is where you're listening to Raglan talking to Raglan. And I was saying that we'd listen to what Dennis had to say first, and I'd try and fill in the bits that he hasn't covered. So I talked to Aaron this morning, so if you're interested, that podcast is available on the radio's website. But let's have a look at what other things there were that weren't covered. So one of the things the regional council's coming to talk about is the aquaculture strategy. And the agenda says, while Raglan does not currently have active aquaculture operations, an application for spat catching is underway. So spats being the things which eventually become mussels, is my understanding. So they have ropes and they which dangle in the water, and they gradually acquire all these shellfish which attach themselves to them. And then they can farm them. But it goes on to say that the regional council's waiting additional information on that one, but the consent isn't for the district council, but they may be considered an affected party if the regional council notifies the application. So that's presumably what they're going to discuss tomorrow afternoon at the community board, whether they are going to notify the application. Otherwise, we don't have much say at all. There's also mention of the Wainui Bush Park. There's a proposal to extend the cycleway through the bush park. At the moment, it stops at the car park entrance, well, to the extent that there is a cycleway. As I was discussing with Aaron this morning, there was a meeting of the policy committee this morning, and they had on their agenda looking at the various policies for parking and cycleways and all that sort of stuff. And there's one paragraph in there that talks about designated cycleways in Waikato District. And underneath there's a table, and just above the table it says, "This table is intentionally blank." So there aren't actually any official cycleways, as far as I can make out, but they did spend over $1 million in putting some concrete between the footbridge and the Wainui Bush Park, which you can tell it's a cycleway, or maybe intended to be a cycleway, because there's a few cyclist dismount signs along it. I don't think there's any other thing which tells you that maybe cyclists use it, but where it is available for cycling. So it's a bit of a mystery. But anyway, as I say, at the moment, that concrete strip finishes just as you get to the entrance to the Wainui Bush Park. And there have been various suggestions as to where it should go beyond there. I'm not quite sure what the final solution to that was, but the agenda for tomorrow's meeting says that further signage installation for the Bush Park cycle access track has been confirmed now through consultation with Dirk de Rocha, and this is due for installation in the coming month. So no doubt we'll see where it goes. It does seem to me that there should have been some consultation on that, rather than just talking to friends of Wainui. And I'm not clear that friends of Wainui even agreed to it. But anyway, let's move on to the next thing, which is also in a way related, because the cycle track at the moment, one of those cyclist dismount signs is just as you reach the footbridge. And they're talking about the walkway going the other way, which Dennis mentioned, but he didn't mention how wide it was going to be. And as far as I can see, that they've included the plans for it in the community board agenda. In fact, they've included the plans twice in the community board agenda, but they haven't said anything else about it, and they haven't given any measurements on the plans. But looking at the drawings that they've got there, it looks as though the existing footpath is going to be something like three-eighths wider than it is at the moment. And it looks as though it's going to be pretty uniform width all the way along. But it doesn't mention cycling, even though the obvious thing would be to make it fit for cycling rather more than the approach from the north end, which, as I say, has got those cyclist dismount signs there at the moment. So not sure what's happening with that. Maybe we'll manage to find out tomorrow. The seawall, it looks as though they're just going to repair it and do much the same otherwise that they've done with the other, but not cantilever it out as well. They're also going to put a railing on in much the same way, presumably, as they've done with the northern end of that walkway. So, again, as I say, something to maybe ask questions about tomorrow afternoon. There's also mention of the sewage. There's another quarter of an hour of that drop-in session. I've not managed to find out when the next one in the library is going to be. There's also another thing coming up, which is the Regional Council's long-term plan engagement. As Dennis says, that's going to be talking about the rates for the buses, and whether you might remember that when we were consulted by Regional Council, they were asking, did we want to pay more rates if we live near a bus route or less if we live further away from a bus route, to support the buses and trains. And this is an ongoing part of that consultation, as far as I can make out. There is mention that they're going to have a meeting on the 18th of December for Regional Council to try and sort this one out. So I think that's preparation for that meeting coming up. Dennis did mention the extension of the bus out to Manu Bay. I did check this morning and they still had the old timetables there, which don't show the bus going out to Manu Bay, except at weekends. And the weekend buses are different times now, because they've got three of them, not two of them. And therefore, if you want to find out about the buses going out to Manu Bay, don't look at the bus timetables on the bus stops, but look instead on the council's website, or if you can manage to find a bus, you can pick up a timetable on the bus as well. Extreme Zero Waste is going to be there. I'm hoping that I'm going to be playing an interview with them, so that covers most of that. As Dennis was saying, the Open Spaces team are going to be there. Not sure whether they're going to also mention the work that they've done along Cliff Street, whether they, some of the Pukekohe trees are looking rather sickly, looking dead on one side, to be more accurate, which the council's arborist put down to too much traffic driving over them. So they've put a pile of earth and mulch over the top of the roots in the hope that that will let them recover. They did also at one stage talk about trying to stop people parking on top of the roots. They seem to have given up on that one, so might be also something to ask the Open Spaces team about. Dennis apparently has talked to the chair of the Infrastructure Committee about the Manu Bay breakwater that he was talking about, because he thinks it's a health and safety risk not to do anything, which is probably, it seemed when I was talking to Aaron this morning, I suggested there was a parallel there with the health and safety risk of carrying bikes on buses, because you may know that although the buses have got bus racks on the front of them, they're taped shut at the moment, so they can't carry bikes because they got an instruction from Waka Kotahi, the government organisation responsible for road safety, telling them that bikes might obscure headlights on buses when they were running at night, and advising not to take bikes at night. The bus and coach council looked at that and said, well, if the buses have to be fit to run at night, they also have to be fit to run during the day, because the rules don't allow for buses to run without headlights during the day if we're only using the buses for daytime travel. So this must be something which applies day and night. So at the moment, it's a complete ban on buses and bikes on buses. And the Waka Kotahi could, under their regulations, issue temporary exemptions to that, which would allow the bus companies to do it without risking breaking the law. But the Waka Kotahi doesn't seem to want to do that. It gives me the impression that it's much the same as the airfield, that there's never been an accident on the airfield with people walking across it. But the council didn't want to be blamed in case there was, so they shut the footpath across the walkway across the airfield. And it seems to me much the same with Waka Kotahi, that there's never been any problem with the headlights on buses being obscured, but they don't want to be blamed if there is, so they're not going to issue any exemption. They'd rather the bus operators took the risk of running illegal buses, which I think is why it's taking a while to resolve this one. Also on the agenda is the Raglan Wharf down at the end of Wallace Street. And apparently they're going to put signage up there about fishing being prohibited. They've ordered the appropriate pedestals, which are being acquired for installation before Christmas. Seems to me that they would need a bylaw if they were going to ban fishing there, so I don't know what the signs are going to say. This is also the civil defence is on the agenda. Dennis didn't mention anything about that, but my understanding is he's trying to organise a meeting for sometime this month, but not heard any more about it. So he might do at the community board tomorrow. Alcohol ban, that's also on the agenda. You've got until the 8th of December to put in submissions on that. I've mentioned it a few times before. So that's another 5 days to put in submissions saying it's great to increase the alcohol ban, or there shouldn't be an alcohol ban, or whatever your views are on that. So have a look at the council's website, the Say It Bit, and 5 days to get on with doing that. Sound Splash, they're talking about sign-off approval in early to mid-December. So it looks as though that's going ahead in much the same way as last year, which didn't seem to cause any problems that I've heard of anyway. Closed circuit television seemed to be back to the drawing board on that one, because Hamilton City Council wanted to charge more than Waikato District Council wanted to pay for monitoring the cameras. So they're talking about the next steps will be to complete a full detailed design, which is taking us back a year or so ago, I think, because that's what they were doing a year or so ago. So whether we'll ever get that one in remains to be seen. There's also some concern about adaptive management, as they're calling it, or the erosion of the sand on Papahua, on the domain there. That seems to be going on with discussions to continue. So quite what discussions, maybe we'll hear more about that tomorrow too. Greenslade Road Reserve Playground, they're going to engage the local residents for feedback before finalising the conceptual design, which I thought we saw again about a year ago. But anyway, seems to be back to square one on that one too. There's also going to be the possibility of hearing reports from the councillor and community board members, which don't appear in the agenda. So there could all be all sorts of things pop up on under that one. As I say, the Policy and Regulatory Committee of the District Council had a meeting this morning, and on their agenda was mention of fast track. pointing out that the government still hasn't passed the fast track legislation, so they're still not sure exactly what's going to be the situation, but they have set up a team to deal with it. And they also mention that they did apply for the Raglan sewage issue to be fast-tracked, and apparently it got turned down. It's on the list of fast-track applications, not shortlisted, whereas the one at Huntly did get onto that list. So I'm not quite sure why that would be. And it maybe explains why we didn't hear much about the sewage works for a few months earlier in the year. It seemed to go very quiet, and then presumably it got turned down, and then they held things like the drop-in, which has got another 5 minutes to go. What else have we got? That's also the Spirit of Christmas exhibition, which is on at the old school until Sunday. This year, the organisers are teaming up with the Coast Guard to raise money for a new boat. So that's going on there as well. At the old school, that's the usual 10 till 2 for exhibitions that I mentioned, the school one, which is replacing that one. And there's also another story about the water tower, which is gradually being repainted, saying that they, there were 17 artists who competed for it and used their community survey to decide on the items which are going on it, the why, or the ocean, the nature, the people, and expected to be completed before Christmas. So, the only other news that I've noticed is the COVID cases are up this week from 106 last week to 132 this week. The figures on hospital cases are a couple of weeks out of date. They did have three in hospital a couple of weeks ago. Don't know what the current figure is. Maybe that's all the backroom staff that they've been getting rid of, and they're not able to update the figures as often as they used to. But they have updated the figures on deaths, and there have been only one or zero deaths for a few weeks now. But there's three deaths attributed in the Waikato to COVID this week, so maybe it's not looking too great. Anyway, that's the news which I've spotted. Before we have the next item, listening to that Extreme Waste presentation, which is coming up tomorrow, but which Aaron talked to Extreme during the week. Maybe we'll have the top of the hour items and then we'll go on with that. So here goes.
Kia ora whaingaroa. This is your local captain, Barlow of the Wahine Mui. Come and join us as we go around this beautiful Whangaroa Harbour and learn all about the Raglan history. We also have bookings for private parties, memorial events and family reunions. We can do it all on the water. Also, you can just rock up to the wharf for a lunchtime or sunset cruise. We've got a licensed bar and snacks, and you can check out our schedule at raglanboatcharters.co.nz. So hope to see you guys soon. Kia ora.
Hey, I'm hungry. What do you want for dinner?
Oh, let's go down to the growers market, Mum. There's always something yummy there, and we can get all our veggies and fruit for the week at the same time.
Great idea. All the produce is grown locally, which means that because it's super fresh, it's more nutritious.
I love hanging out at the growers market.
And I love meeting all the growers. I'll grab the bag with our reusable containers.
Don't forget our bowls and spoons.
The Raglan Growers Market. Hi. By the community, for the community. Every Friday from 5 to 7pm on Stewart Street.
Support local. See you there.
BizWorks, chartered accountants, working for your business right here in Raglan. As well as helping us out at Raglan Community Radio, BizWorks has been offering business advice and services to the local community since 2001. They should be the first people you call if you've got a new business venture or want to grow your existing business. They can provide business support, take care of your GST, provide Xero training, and of course, end-of-year financial statements and tax returns. So whatever your needs, the answer is right here in Raglan, just around the corner on Wallace Street. Call BizWorks on 825 7050 or go to bizworks.co.nz. That's bizworx.co.nz.
98.1 FM. Catch the waves.
You're making Catch the Waves this evening. You're listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan on Raglan Community Radio, where you rang your finger at just gone 1 minute to seven. And one of the people Aaron talked to last week on the morning show was Gemma from Extreme Xero Waste. So I think that's what they're proposing to talk to the community board about tomorrow, but might be wrong. Anyway, is what Gemma and Aaron had to say to each other.
Gemma's from Extreme Xero Waste, and your job title, Gemma? I always like to ask this question.
Walking variety show of Extreme Xero Waste.
Right, okay. Yep. What have you got for us today?
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun! So it was pretty exciting last week. There was lots of momentum in the Xero Waste network, in the Xero Waste world across Aotearoa. There was the Xero Waste Network, which is kind of like a group of other resource recovery centres like us at Extreme across New Zealand.
So I've heard there's over 100 these days.
Yeah. And then there's other like members as well, some people who are council members from different councils across the country, or the academics in the environmental or waste space.
Oh, yeah.
And a few smaller like NGOs or environment hubs are part of the network too. So there was a summit down in Te Whanganui Atara in Wellington, and it aligned with the time when the hikoi or Te Tiriti was on as well.
So it was a bit of a buzz going.
It was crazy. The city was so alive. Mm, yeah.
Yeah. And did you have time to join in the hikoi?
Yeah. So there was momentum for the hikoi on Tuesday.
Oh, this is my chance to get a report from someone who was there. Did you get very close to Parliament at all? Or?
No.
I couldn't get there?
No. The summit was held at Pipitia campus, like at Vic Uni across from Parliament. And you could just see this like swelling mass, like just coming up to Parliament, and you couldn't get close. You couldn't even really hear the speeches happening. And that's part of like the amazing coordination that was happening as well, because like that was prioritised for mana whenua to be like up close to Parliament as well.
Yeah.
But it was great. People were just like sitting down on the road, having lunch. There's some dogs, there's some horses around. It was just like a really uplifting and like powerful event. Yeah.
Yeah, I spoke to Jasmine, who was at the one in Kirikiriroa in Hamilton, and she said it was just such a good vibe.
Yeah.
Then the experience, so that was continued down there?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. Mm. And then you could just see towards the end of the day, there was amazing activity happening from local like Xero Waste groups as well, trying to support with waste minimisation on the day. So they did an amazing job to cater for, we don't know exactly the numbers, but it's looking like upwards of 50,000, closer to 100,000 maybe.
Yeah, I've seen everything from 35 to 100.
Yeah.
I saw 80 yesterday. I would say traditionally the media always underdoes the numbers.
Yeah.
So I'd say it was somewhere at least 80, probably.
Yeah, I've
based on the numbers I've seen, I'm going to go probably about 80.
Yeah.
Without having been there or flown a helicopter or a drone.
Yeah. You wanted to be in a drone and just looking over everything. It was amazing. So following on from that, there were lots of discussions at the Xero Waste Summit about kind of the root causes of our environmental and our waste problems and where they're stemming from.
Yeah.
And our amazing Rick Thorpe of Extreme Xero Waste and Jackie Forbes of the Extreme Whānau and Parakore had a RNZ interview last Saturday on the morning show, like carrying on some of those discussions that we were having at the summit and the time when the hikoi was happening too. So it's linked on all of our social media pages if you want to give that a listen to after listening to the radio.
Once we're finished here. Yeah. So and they were making the connection between waste and colonialism, or waste and empire building. That's the words I would use, because that really, when you're building an empire, you don't care about the mess you make.
Yeah. And that disconnect from land, and that disconnect from, that intrinsic link between you as people and as land, and the sustenance that provides for everyone. So, they distilled down on that in 15 minutes more eloquently than I will ever be able to. So it was really, I think it captured the essence of kind of the three-day summit into 15 minutes, which was great to hear.
You guys, the Zero Waste Network didn't plan this for the date of the hikoi, did
they? No, it just happened to align around that time. So I think that really dominated lots of the discussions that everyone was having too. But really, really important.
Yeah. So I go to RNZ. What keywords should they put in the search? Rick Thorpe?
I think it's
Zero Waste.
Extreme. Wow, that's a great question. They had a really good slogan for it, and it's dropped out of my brain now.
That's all right. If people know that, like, Rick Thorpe and Jackie Forbes, part of Kore, Extreme Zero Waste. Zero Waste, those.
It'll come up.
That should get you there. So after 10 o'clock, folks.
Yes.
When my show's finished. back to Whangaroa.
Yes. So we've returned back from Wellington, and it is coming into the festive Christmas season, and also coming into our summer season. We've got lots of our visitors arriving, town's getting busier. So, as part of the Extreme team, we're here to share the strong message of when you're coming into the season, thinking of the waste hierarchy.
Yes.
Thinking at the top of that of where you can be rethinking or reducing what's going to turn up in your house over this time.
Yeah.
So we shared in the Chronicle, and there's lots of other amazing ideas floating around town, or have a look online of ways to be savvy and resourceful over Christmas with your gift giving or with your decorating, if you are going to partake in that. You don't need to go buy a lot of new things to have a decorated house or a good Christmas.
The other thing too, a quick look at the notes. Kahu's Nest is selling. They'll usually sell Christmas tree lights at this time of year.
Yes, yeah. So
for cheap?
Yeah. So there is still Christmas decorations at Kahu's Nest. Any secondhand store, they'll be pulling out their stock that gets stored up over the year this time of year.
So the point is there's always plenty. No need to go and buy some new stuff.
Absolutely.
Necessarily, yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking I should have worn them this morning. I've got these like little spade earrings. I wore them the other week. And like they're quite bright colours, and they were from the inside of a Christmas cracker a few years ago. Just tiny plastic spades. I didn't know what else to do with them, so I turned them into earrings. But, it's kind of a good talking point, if you're going to be investing in Christmas crackers, give a think if they're actually full of crap inside, like tiny spades that otherwise you're just going to throw into landfill.
Christmas crackers are a rubbish machine, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Apart from the bang. The bang's the cool bit. Then everyone's like, everyone knows the jokes are lame. In fact, they have to be. If it's a good joke, you're kind of disappointed at that point. At this point in time, it is. It's a. I mean, this celebration. Sometimes we go extravagant on celebrations. I get that, but it just is hitting me now. Just what a rubbish machine they are.
Yeah. Have some quality time. Have some quality food.
Could Extreme make some homemade crackers?
No,
I'm not. That's not a good idea because there's no expertise about how explosive to make something up at Extreme.
A tinkering project. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe someone out there would like to try that.
Yeah. But no, you want to enjoy good food. You want to enjoy good time. And there's always a big influx and more recycling around town for our team to be picking up over that time as well. But just a friendly reminder, we're doing our best to share the word out with all of our Wednesday residents. So if your usual day for your curbside collection is on a Wednesday, please keep in mind that our team won't be working on Christmas Day, and then the following week, New Year's Day falls on a Wednesday too.
Yeah.
So we're going to be doing all of those curbside collections the day prior on a Tuesday. So you want to be getting it out to the curb early in the morning on a Tuesday.
And people will say, why couldn't you do it the day after? But I know the answer to that question, because Boxing Day there'll be so much rubbish and paper.
Absolutely.
And wrapping paper.
Yeah. Boxing Day, the volumes are huge. So do your best. If you've got cardboard, remember that it's just the size of one of your crates. That's how much is we can pick up from each house. And it's not because we don't want your cardboard. It's just that the truck only has a certain capacity, and so for the amount of houses that we drive around to each day, that's the kind of amount we can collect from each house. And we're still doing multiple trips to empty the truck, go back to site, you know, and then come back and pick up more. But if we were picking up like fridge worths from every house, we just wouldn't get around to all of the houses that day. So that's why we ask, if you've got a volume of cardboard bigger than a crate, to bring it up to site when you have a chance.
I know in previous years on like Boxing Day and through that period that the guys have been out sometimes till dark in the worst years. I don't think it's quite like that anymore.
But
it is like it's several times more rubbish than normal. So
just stick to your usual volumes wherever you can.
Take the rest up to the site dribs and drabs over the next few weeks. What do you recommend?
I recommend having some fun. If you've got kids at home, you know, big cardboard you can get creative with. We've got a really fun kind of turret house with my niece at the moment, made from a big fridge thing.
Okay.
So have fun with your cardboard and then dribs and drabs up to site.
Yeah. And I know I've been up there. I was up there on Boxing Day once, and like all the managers were out sorting rubbish as well. Are you going to be working to do that? Have you doing that sort of thing?
Yeah, I'll be around over the New Year period. So that's as well, folks, just remember this site is going to be closed the 24th, the 25th on Christmas Day, and the 26th on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
So it's after that time coming up to site you can make it.
Oh, yeah. So you can do your rubbish on Boxing Day, but you've got to wait till the 27th to go to site.
Yeah. Okay. So the curbside collections will be back running on Boxing Day on the Thursday. So Thursday residents, that's as normal for you.
Yeah.
But just wait till after to make it up to site.
Yeah. And talking about, like, you are going to be at the community board meeting with Nina on Wednesday to talk about what's happening over summer. It's always a problem for services over summer in Raglan. I know last year, because Nina was at the board meeting a month ago, saying that the guys were emptying the bins, doing the circuit, coming straight back to start again, and already the bins were overflowing at Papahua.
And
it doesn't sound like you need a second truck and a second team of people. Like, how do you resolve that problem? So I know there's been some thought put into that. So what is the plan?
The team can't be working faster and they can't be working harder, you know, unless we duplicated and had, you know, three street litter bin trucks running around. But that's really not the solution of like thinking up the waste hierarchy. You want to be thinking about how we're reducing all of that stuff ending up there in the first place,
and it's going to cost the ratepayers more as well.
Exactly, because that's what it's funded from. So we're just sending out a strong message that if you're heading into town or you've got visitors with you, just a huge portion of what makes up that street litter bin volume is like our single-use packaging that's coming from if we're making our way into town. So you want to support local and you want to make it to our local businesses, and you also want to bring your cups or your containers where possible. Often you'll get a discount if you do that, and that really does reduce the volume going into those bins. But we recognise that there's only so much like us as residents here in Whangaroa can do, and a lot of it is from like our visitor population. And we can't just... you know, there's limited ways we can share that information with them. So we're going to have an ambassador at Papahua, which is kind of one of the main hotspots, I guess, for the litter bins, the street litter bins overflowing. So they're going to be stationed there over the busy period, particularly like the weekends, over Christmas and New Year's, and just walking around chatting and letting folks know about what can and what can't go in the recycling, and then just encouraging them to be taking their litter home with them where possible.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're gonna see. We're hoping, like, we haven't had a setup like that before, so we're hoping that will make a difference. Yeah.
I know at that community board meeting when it was first discussed that someone was started talking about, like, there's a lake in the Rotorua Lakes area of Karaka. No, I can't remember which one. Where they just took the bins away.
Yeah.
Council just took the bins away.
Yeah.
But that's a little more remote. Like, I don't think it gets the pile off of people that we get here at Papahua.
Yeah.
Yeah. But apparently that was kind of working. It was kind of like the idea is you just take your rubbish with you.
Yeah, there's strong messaging like that. Like, if you're around the Whangarei district as well, along lots of the coastline areas, that message has been shared up there as well. So we're not at that point yet, but you know, we're trying these kind of alternatives because, like we said, a lot of it is our visiting population, and we just need to be sharing that message with them.
Which is many more people, several times the population over Christmas. So, which we all know. Yeah. We all know that. Yeah. We're all hiding at home, waiting for the crowds to abate, unless we have to work, which some do. So, what other messages have you got for us, Gemma? We're talking to Gemma from Extreme Zero Waste, in case you hadn't picked that up, folks.
Yeah, talking waste.
Yes.
We get asked a little bit around this time of year, like, what paper can be recycled. It might sound trivial, but it is kind of important if you're putting a load out to the curbside or if you're taking a big load up to site. It's good to know what you can recycle and what you can't. So if you're going to be using paper for, like, gift wrapping this year, stuff that is tearable and not absolutely coated in tape can be recycled, unless it's plastered in glitter, or, you know, you can kind of get that foily type wrapping.
Yes.
And you can't actually really rip it because it's pretty much like plastic.
It's basically plastic.
Yeah. So
and
that,
it's not metal, even though it's...
No. It's just this weird mix of, like, a type of plastic with a little bit of metal and stuff mixed in there. And it's just, it can't be recycled
in any way. No, it's a combination of all sorts of stuff. Okay,
so
yeah.
Squish that up and that's got to go in your prepaid landfill bag. But beyond that, there's lots of ways. If you're giving gifts, you can be wrapping up with any cloth. We had some great suggestions from the team that different fabrics work well, or even like sheet music. That was cheap.
I know. We did that in our house, and that looks quite cool. I guess there was some old sheet music books at Extreme that no one wanted to buy.
Yeah, I mean, so have a look around. Yeah,
something creative. Yeah,
we had a stack of maps that we used one year that you can find, or even just like brown paper, you know, just like look what you have around. You can make things look beautiful if you want.
But avoid that shiny metally looking paper.
Yeah,
it's not paper.
No.
Yeah, whatever it is, wrapping stuff.
Yeah, all the stuff that's just full glitter and is going to shower everything in glitter. Avoid that where possible.
Cardboard?
Cardboard.
Do you want to give people the advice you gave me when I was up there the other day about the difference between there's a cardboard bin and a paper bin? And where's the dividing line between paper and cardboard?
Yeah, so right now, Aaron, you kind of got like, you've got this, what's that?
That's printing paper? That's normal print paper.
So white print paper, absolutely put that in the paper bin.
Yeah, I was pretty sure about that.
Yes. But then you get to the case, like if you have a muesli bar box, or say you've got some...
So it's a thin card. I call that thin cardboard.
Thin cardboard, yeah. Or like what dry tacos would be in, or...
Yep.
You know, anything from the supermarket. Yeah, that's that thin cardboard.
Biscuit boxes,
perfect. Cereal boxes too. Thin cardboard, that goes in the paper.
Right.
Because it is so thin. What goes into the cardboard is actually, if you look at it and it's got like a corrugate in it, you know,
so
it's got that wave, the wave.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're at the curbside, the easiest way to do that is if you have, you know, a brown paper bag, or you've got a cereal box and you just kind of stuff or slide all of the printing paper or the cardboard boxes into one. Even if you're using toilet paper rolls, you know, flatten those up and slide them into your cereal box. So that's all of your paper. And then the cardboard, you just want to kind of flat pack up together and then slide into another cardboard box.
So what
box.
About this? I've got a diary here.
Yes.
And that cardboard's quite thick. Like, that's really hard. Like, it's... you know, you have to put some effort into bending it still, but it's not corrugated.
No.
So it goes in the
just paper.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go. I've learned something after all these years. what else we got here, Gemma? Or was that the thing?
We had Kate Meads visit us in town the other week. So she's from Waste Ed Kate. So another branch in the waste world, but she kind of does the rounds around Aotearoa
it
and focuses.
Like a social media name, is it?
Yeah. She has got a big presence online, and she's done quite a few videos this year about the ins and outs of recycling around the country, as we've done the standardisation.
Yeah.
She came and she was chatting about food waste and getting rid of unavoidable food waste.
Yeah. Yep.
So she was at the bowling club and she shared some great tips. And it's really topical coming into Christmas, you know, when we might be buying a lot more food over the festive period. So we've just been talking a bit with the team at Extreme about ways that we avoid food waste over that time. And Liz was sharing a great tip. And her family, they do like a big leftover pie. I think it's kind of dependent on the day. Like if it's a really, really hot day, you're probably not wanting to be eating leftover pie.
Well, if it can get in the fridge in time, I think
that's
the issue.
Yeah. But there's lots of ways. Like,
so they make a pie out of various leftovers.
Yeah, you put the chicken and the turkey and if you've got sauces and you put some of that, you know, you just do a big, big tray and
Chuck it all in.
Yeah.
Chuck it all in, folks.
Make a big, big pie, leftover pie with some good pastry on the bottom. And but Kate was sharing good tips as well of this time of year, having a look into your freezer and seeing if there's any meals or any things you want to eat through now so that you have time coming up into Christmas for when you have a bit more food to have that freezer space to be putting leftovers in there over that time. Mm. Even things like having a little Tupperware box for leftover cheeses or if you're having like... if you're getting fancy and having cheese boards or anything, or even just kind of leftover bits of deli meat or meats over that time, having a Tupperware in the freezer to put all of that into, and then you pull it out a few days later and you've got all of your toppings to make a good pizza.
So you've got this advice in a bit more detail in the Chronicle or somewhere or on social media. What's the plan with that?
Yeah, we'll be sharing all of that. Most of it's coming from the Love Food Hate Waste resources.
Oh, yeah.
So hop online. They've got a whole, like, amazing suite of resources on there. Lots of it tailored to, like, Christmas-specific food waste as well. So their focus message is, like, save money and save waste over this time. Head to Love Food Hate Waste, and that's where all of those tips are on there.
Okay, cool. All right, yep. Gemma, thank you for... Is that everything? We're good?
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right, thank you for coming in. And yep. I know you guys are going to be working hard over the next few months, so good luck with that.
Yeah.
This is your first summer period with Extreme, isn't it? Is it?
I joined the 8th of January last year.
So you kind of know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Still pretty busy.
Yeah. Last message from the team was that if you're leaving treats out for them, you know, as thanks for their hard work, which lots of our lovely community do, lollies or drinks are welcome over chocolates because the chocolates melt.
And I know, folks, if you're wondering what Gemma's talking about, lots of locals like to leave presents, gifts for the boys on the run, picking up the rubbish and recycling, which is a lovely thing. It's a nice thing.
Yep.
But yeah, the chocolate melts, so... Yeah, it is summer. Yeah. All right. Thank you for coming in.
Cheers.
So that was an interview from last week with Aaron talking to Gemma from Extreme. They should be on the agenda for tomorrow night's, tomorrow afternoon. Every other community board meets at night, but our regular community board meets during the day at 1:30 with their public forum, which lasts till around about 2 o'clock. If you do have tomorrow afternoon free and aren't unlucky enough to be working, you might like to get along there and ask about some of the things you've been hearing about this evening. I did check the Raglan Ramblers, the extra walk, which is on, which is just supposed to be a short walk along the beach, so a fairly easy walk, is starting from near the end of Riria. Kerry Open Memorial Drive at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So that's near the toilets there, presumably near the steps which go down near the toilets there. At the because there used to be three sets of steps there, and they've gradually been hit, I think, by various chunks of wood floating around during storms and damaged, say, and the beach has been going up and down, which hasn't helped. So there's now just one set of steps there. So if you're there around about 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and feel like going for a stroll along the beach with some other Raglan Ramblers, then it's an opportunity to do it. It's now just coming up to 24 minutes past seven. Don't think there's anything I can really fit in 6 minutes. I was thinking of playing some of the things I've not managed to fit in previous weeks, but my organisation of scheduling hasn't worked that well. So if you have been, thanks for listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan. If you haven't, hope you might manage to join me next week, 6-ish till 7:30-ish here on Raglan Community Radio, Rangel Fangara. One of the things I was hoping to play was some of the talks that Aaron's been doing with people who remembered the start of the radio 30 years ago. But I think those have to wait yet again for another week. So I'm gradually building up quite a list of things to play in other weeks. So you never know, next week might be the week that I most fit it in. So hope you'll be listening 6-ish till 7:30-ish here on Raglan Community Radio, your annual Whangaroa. And it's now just came up to 25 minutes past seven. So at least 5 minutes of music, with starting off with Dean Chandler, If It's Not Too Late.
I try to write a song